And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with their hired servants and went away to follow him. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So that tells us about, well, sort of the first things really we hear about John and his meeting with Jesus. So what does that tell us? Well, to put it all in context, Jesus had just spent 40 days in the wilderness and is just about to start his earthly ministry. John the Baptist has just been arrested, and Jesus is walking along the shores of Galilee. Now, John the Baptist had said not long before this, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold the Son of God." So people round about knew who Jesus was. They'd heard his teachings, he'd been teaching and he'd been talking to people. And you can imagine in this small place that a lot of people would have known Jesus. He already had a reputation of being a wise man and somebody to listen to and look out for. And he's walking along Galilee, and he comes along and he finds these fishermen. And he sees Andrew first, and he sees Peter, and he calls them. So if we can move that on, please, Sylvia. And then he comes across James and John. James and John are there mending the nets. They finished the fishing for that day. And he's mending away the nets there, and they're all really busy. And Jesus comes along, and he calls them to come and follow him. And it says immediately they got up. But there's some interesting thing there in verse 20. It says they left their father Zebedee in the boat with their hired servants and went away to follow him. So we can find out from about John from that John was a businessman. He was a hard worker. He'd been working, probably fishing all night. Now he's mending his nets. He's working. It's a family business. So it's Zebedee and Sons. That's what we've got working here. They've obviously influential. They've obviously known, because it said they hired people. So they'd got people working for them. This is a business. So Salome would have been known as well in the area. You know, they're my boys. That's our family business that we're working, our fishing business there. Now, if you put on next slide, please, Sylvia. There we are. There's our Salome. Now, can you imagine how proud Salome is? Her boys had been chosen to be followers of this new teacher, this new great man that's walking about. And she is so excited and so proud that these her boys have been chosen by Jesus to go around. You can imagine, can't you, going around the market and saying, "Oh yes, my James and John, they've been picked to go with Jesus as one of his followers." And you can imagine she'd just be bursting with enthusiasm for what was going to happen. You know, this great, great man. She loved her sons. Let's go on to the next one, Sylvia, please. She loved her sons very much. But, you know, being a mum, now I'm not quite sure what really encouraged her to do this, whether it was her love for her sons or whether she was genuinely loving Jesus, I'm not quite sure. But she decides to go along with them. It says that Salome ministered with them. She went along. Now, I'm not sure how James and John felt about having their mum along. I know what my son would have said. Maybe they thought, "Oh, that's good, because we've got mum's cooking. Mum will be able to look after us on our way, you know, and wash our clothes and all this kind of thing." Or whether they actually thought, "Oh, no, mum's coming along as well." We don't know what they think, but it does say quite clearly in Mark chapter 15, verse 40, that Salome was part of the women that went with them and looked after them. Now, that's just a little bit about what happens with James and John and Salome. But the little bit that I really want to concentrate on tonight is, and this will give us a little bit more of an insight, I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 20. And I want us to start reading at verse 17. And as Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves. And on the way, he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised up." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, bowing low and making a request of him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Command that in your kingdom those two sons of mine may sit one on your right and one on your left." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you are asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "My cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, that is not mine to give. But it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." Now, you've got to put yourself in the situation of what's happening here. They're on the way to Jerusalem. There's quite a crowd of them walking along. And you can imagine that by this time, they've had the wedding in Canaan. People know the disciples. There's this big group of people walking about. Lots of people are coming for healing. They've seen miraculous things happening. And they've had all kinds of experiences with Jesus. And now they're walking to Jerusalem. And it says, this little thing here, it says, "And Jesus took the disciples aside by themselves." There was this small group of people. He brings them to one side because he's got something super special to share with them. So he gets them close round him and he starts to tell them about what's going to happen in Jerusalem. The most important thing that ever happened in history, and he's sharing it with his disciples. And he says, "I'm going to go. We're going to go into Jerusalem. I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be condemned. I'm going to be mocked and crucified. And I'm going to rise again on the third day." Now, that's the whole of Scripture. That's everything that Scripture has been written about, is about those few sentences. It's all about the gospel. And it's an intense moment. And Salome comes in and says, "Excuse me, can I ask you something? When you get into that kingdom, look, it says here, those two sons of mine, can my boys be on the right and left of you?" She has completely missed the whole meaning of what Jesus has just been saying. The greatest words that we could ever hear, that's our salvation, Salome completely missed. All she was interested in is that her boys, James and John, are given the best places in this new kingdom. She was at the wrong time, in the wrong place, asking the wrong questions with the wrong motives, with the wrong understanding, and creating the wrong atmosphere. So at a time when these disciples should have been around Jesus asking questions, "What can we do to help? How can we support you? What do you mean?" Do you know what they're saying? How dare she? It says that the rest of them start talking and saying, "What's going on here? Why should they be chosen to be best?" And there's all this going on instead. Now, if that had been me, I think I would have turned around and said, "You're just missing the point here. This is not what I'm trying to tell you." But Jesus is so gracious. And he turned around and he says to him, "Look, you don't know what you're asking. You can't do what I'm doing. You don't understand the cost of following me. You don't get it." And he says to him, "Are you willing to take that? Are you willing?" to take up that cross and follow me? Are you willing to be to take all the suffering that I take? And they say, yes, we are. Yes, we are. We will do it. Even though they didn't really understand. But it's at that point, I believe, that that is the turning point of John and James and Salome's ministry. Because of that answer, because they made that commitment, they all did take part to some degree in the suffering of Jesus. James was the first one to be martyred, and Salome had to live with this. John was the last one that paid the price for being a disciple of Jesus. James and John, like Pete mentioned last week, were known as the Sons of Thunder. So these big strapping fishermen, I think, would have been quite a handful too. And they wanted to bring down fire and brimstone on a Samaritan village because they weren't being made welcome. And Jesus had to say to them, whoa, Sons of Thunder. But this acknowledgement to Jesus of saying, we are prepared to follow you, changed the fiery James and John into wonderful servants. And actually, John spends most of his life writing about love and gentleness. And actually, in 1 John chapter 2, twice he says, my children, when he's speaking to the church and the people, he's got such a tenderness now, no longer a son of thunder. But he brings God's power and love through the way that he teaches the church and the way that he writes his letters. God gives us second chances so often, doesn't he? So gracious to us. And Salome, although she wasn't listening to when Jesus was telling her all about what was going to happen in Jerusalem, who's the first at the graveside? Salome. Mary. She's one of the ones who comes, if you can move on, Sylvia. She's one of the ones who's there to bring ointments and things to the grave. And she's one that sees the angel that says he's not here anymore. So although she didn't quite understand what was being said all those years before, now she sees the reality of those statements that Jesus made to her. And I think that's just wonderful. Isn't God good to us? So many times we miss what God's saying to us, what God's trying to teach us, even sometimes quite simply. But he's so gracious that he gives us another chance and he blesses us so many times. I think Salome learned lots of lessons on that road, just as James and John did. She was very faithful to Jesus. She gave up a comfortable home. She left her husband for a while she went to minister with Jesus on the road. She did desire to elevate her sons to God's, and she did bring conflict. But giving up her sons as she did, giving her all to Jesus, just brought tremendous blessing upon her life. And she was a great, great woman. Sometimes I think that God can't fill our lives as full as we should be for him. We can't be filled with the Spirit because we're holding things back. He can't fill our lives because there's things that we don't want to give him. And that's a bit like Salome. She gave up a home and she went and gave up lots of other things so she could go and follow Jesus and minister. And we do that. There's things we have to give up to follow Jesus. But she clung on to her sons. You can have everything else, God, but you can't have my sons. They're mine. And so often in our lives, there'll be things that we just cling on to so much. It can be a job. It can be a relationship. It can be all kinds of things. But until we release those things to God, he can't bless us fully. And I think the things that we hold tightest, they're the things that we've got to really go to God and say, am I holding these too tight? Do I need to let some things go? Because it's only when our hands are empty, God can fill us to our capacity. If we've got our hands tightly fisted like this, it's very difficult for God to bless us completely. So there's just a few thoughts that I had about James and John and Salome and the relationship and the way that John changed so much. One of the last things that I would say is Jesus recognized how much John had changed and how special that relationship between his mum and John were, because when Jesus was dying, he turned and he said to John, "Behold your mum." He gave the responsibility of his own mother to John. And I think that says a lot about this man who was a son of thunder and who had his mum standing up behind him and pushing him and all these kind of things. How that relationship must have changed to be such a peaceful place and a special relationship that he would entrust his own mother to John to be cared for and loved by him. And I just think that's just so lovely. Jesus is so good, isn't he? He loves to bless us. He loves to encourage us. And I just think that gives us a little bit of a flavour. So hopefully as we go on through John, we'll be able to see where this man came from, the kind of background that he had, and how God touched him and changed him to be able to write these wonderful books like John and Revelation. And we just thank God for his faithfulness and for second chances, because we all need them sometimes, don't we? We all need God's grace. So let's just pray, shall we? Father God, we just thank you that you are such a merciful God. And we just ask that you'll forgive us for the times when we just completely miss the point. Or maybe we don't spend time enough with you that we don't hear your voice. Or maybe our lives are so full of our own desires and plans that yours just don't get any room. And so, Father, we ask that you'll forgive us for that. Give us fresh eyes to see your will and purpose, and help us to have empty hands so that when you call us to work for you and do jobs for you, that you can fill our hands with all the gifts that we need and all the love that we need to fulfill each job that you give us to do. We thank you that you are abundantly gracious to us, that you give us so many chances. Father, we're so undeserving at times, but we just thank you that you never give up loving us, you never give up teaching us and changing us and restoring us. Thank you for the wonderful life that you gave John and the way that you changed him. And Father, we ask that you will help us to be filled more with your love, love for one another, love for your church, love for our community and for our nation. We just want to give you all the praise and glory now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.